the gift of God. And what we want to know is how important Jesus is to all of the Word of God. The first time that Jesus is mentioned is in Genesis 3:15. Is the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, right? And the serpent will strike his heel. That's the first mention of Jesus. So Jesus was not like, oh, let me see what I'm going to do. Jesus was what we call one of God's eternal decrees. He knew what we would need from eternity, right? And there's all these different beginnings, and I'll explain some of that as we go through, but there's all these different beginnings in the Bible. And the problem with every new beginning was people failed. People failed to be able to measure up to what God was expecting from us. And the final beginning comes with Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to look at. So first of all, just this is from Isaiah. This is Isaiah was about 720 BC, so that's roughly 700 years before Jesus. And this was an oracle that he gave. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her inequity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill will be made low, and uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. I don't know how many of you know Handel's Messiah, but there's a song with this, and this is talking about John the Baptist. In several of the Gospels, they point this out, that John the Baptist is the one that was spoken of in Isaiah, and that, so again, 700 years before he was born, God knew John the Baptist was coming, right? And so, you have this great thing, and what it is, he's preparing the way for Jesus. That's his mission. That's his job. He's preparing the way, and we'll see, he's got a mission and a message, and that's what Isaiah, 700 years before he was born, talks about. So one of the things that is mentioned in this oracle is that, sins are going to be forgiven. This is so crucial to us as people. Because guess what? We mess up. We mess up. So God created this new beginning as a way for us to be able to walk with him, to live with him, to love him, and even though we're weak, even though we can't get it right all the time. And that's the perfection of the gospel. Now this story, we're in Luke chapter 1, and it begins in the temple, and that's kind of a model of the temple there. And it was a man named Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth. God can always find people to do his work. He can, there's always someone, who's in the right place, in the right frame of heart and mind to be able to do God's work. And Elizabeth and Zechariah, they were like that. It says in verse 6 of chapter 1, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Zechariah then was called to burn incense in the very back of the temple, the holiest part of the temple. He was back there and he was lighting incense. Now, some of you know about the Ark of the Covenant. That wasn't there anymore. It just kind of disappeared in history. So then they had this altar of incense, and that was still in the holy place or the Holy of Holies. And that's what Zechariah, so he's in the most holy spot, and he was designated to go back there, and he was serving as a priest before God in his division on duty according to the custom of the priesthood. And it fell on him by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. And Zechariah was afraid. He was troubled, it said, but he was afraid when he saw him. And fear fell upon him. So here, you're just going about your business. I think it was a pastor. Just go around the church doing some things, and all of a sudden, an angel. That would kind of wake you up, right? And that's what happens to Zechariah. This angel appears. We find out later that the angel is Gabriel. We'll talk about him. But the angel speaks to him, and he says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. It's amazing how, you know, God's new beginning is going to start with children, two babies being born. John is the first, John the Baptist, right? And he's going to, and this is the angel telling him that he's going to have a son. Now, they're both rather old, and we'll see that later. You know, and Zechariah, though, had been praying for a long time. You know, God, give us a baby, give us a child. And here the angel stands before the Lord. He comes and tells him, Zechariah, you're going to have a child, and you're going to name him John, right? And so, you know, very important for us to always remember, God sees us, he knows us, and he hears us. He hears our prayers. He hears when we call upon him. And one of the most awesome things about God, he's able to answer. He can do anything, right? So he's, you know, receiving this good news from the angel. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. So this is going to be a celebration for Zechariah and Elizabeth, and it's going to be a great day. Then he starts talking about John. Now this is, I want to quote first from Malachi, because Malachi, I said Isaiah talked about John the Baptist. Malachi also talked about him. Malachi was about 500 BC. He says, "Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way for me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." That's a message from Lord of hosts is Yahweh Sabaoth. It's like the most powerful name of God. And he's saying, I'm going to send a messenger. And he's basically talking about in front of the Messiah. Think about this. No other person who claimed to be something of God had someone come before them and point them out. John the Baptist was like the last Old Testament prophet, and he was sent by God. And here, I mean, you're seeing this miraculous birth, you know, angel telling Zechariah and Elizabeth, this is what's going to happen. It's miraculous. And he said, the reason why this guy is being born, the reason what he's going to do, we'll see in a second, that he is going to point out the Messiah. No other person, you name the person who people think are something spiritually, no one had someone come before them. And John, out in the wilderness, he says, behold, he points out to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You know, nobody had that, just Jesus. So Jesus is special. And again, you think of these dates. I mean, God is talking about John 600, 700 years before he was born, right? This is not like just a last second thought. This is something that was in God's heart for a long time. Then he talks about John. He says, he will be great before the Lord. He will drink no wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. John was called to be a prophet when he was a tiny, you know, this is why we believe that life is in here, in a wife, in a woman, you know, that it's not only after born, because here it says John the Baptist is going to have the Spirit of God in him, an anointing from God, when he's inside of Elizabeth's belly, right? So that's a very powerful statement about, one, what God's doing, and two, how special this child is. So the angel goes on, and he says, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, Elijah was a prophet, and this prophet fought against Jezebel and Ahab, and they were horrible. They were the two of the worst king-queen combination in all the history of Israel. They were bad. They killed prophets. They set up idols everywhere. They were really bad, and Elijah stood against them. And one time there was the prophets of Baal, and there were 400 of them and just Elijah. And all day these guys are doing all kinds of stuff trying to get Baal to answer. Well, Baal's not a god, so he couldn't answer. And then Elijah prays a simple prayer. And the thing was, if fire comes from heaven to burn and sacrifice, that's God. The fire came down, burned the sacrifice. Elijah was a warrior, a spiritual warrior. John the Baptist was going to stand out, and he would dress like Elijah, and he would preach like Elijah, and he would point the way of the Messiah. Then this line, and this is really cool, this is, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Again, some of this gets detailed, but Malachi was speaking to the people of Israel. And he said, you know, men, you're being faithless. You're the worst than a faithless man, right? You're being faithless. You're not keeping your wives. You're going after other women. And you're not teaching your children to know the Lord. And he says, what does the Lord desire? The Lord desires, that's what Malachi 2:15, the Lord, what does the Lord desire? Godly offspring. Raise up your children. So here what he's saying, what John's mission is to call people to repentance, to call them to a godly life, to call them to Jesus Christ so they can become what God wants. You know, one of the most precious things, that's why we have the kids come up here and we sing with them and we want them to sing with us, because godly children, that's probably the best ministry that a person can do in this world, is to be a good mother, a good father, and to show children how to live in the ways of God. And to not just speak about it, but to do it. I all my kids are here, and I thank God for everyone. And I tell people, I said, you know, I have literally worked with thousands of youth in 35 years in this neighborhood. And my best youth ministry was in my home, raising my kids to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to say, got a lot of help from my wife. But that's the thing. So this whole idea is, what he's saying is John the Baptist, and what was his message, his primary message was, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn towards God. Follow God's ways. Listen to God. And he's, of course, talking about Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Call upon him, right? And he's going to make, you know, a people ready to receive Jesus Christ. That was his mission. That's what he was supposed to do. Remember, I'm talking about new beginnings. This is God starting something new. He's starting with a prophet, and he's starting with a message to come and turn towards the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am old. I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Now this is, you know, he's old, I can't have children. My wife's old, we can't have children. And the angel just answers her. This is, says, the angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Now, you know, John gets in trouble for this, right? Because Zechariah gets in trouble for this, because he's like, well, how is that possible? And Gabriel, now, again, this stuff, this shows you how these things are not momentarily. Gabriel talked to Daniel in 500 BC, 600 BC, right? And now he's here talking to Zechariah. And he's saying, basically, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very throne room of God, in God's presence, and I was sent by God to give you this message. Why are you doubting? Why would you question, how can this be? And basically, he tells him that because he doubted, he won't be able to talk until the boy is born. And so he goes out, Zechariah goes out, and everybody knew that he'd seen a vision. Everybody knew that something happened, but he couldn't talk until the baby was born. Now, the same angel, and this is about Mary. So what we're doing is we're talking about the beginning of, you know, the Gospels and the beginning of no other Gospel. Luke is the only one that tells these stories this way, John especially. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed of a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, rejoice, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled, saying, you know, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Now, Mary gets a lot of different kind of thoughts about her, right? Some people pray to her. Some people, they say, oh, we don't worship, we venerate her, whatever. But the words in this gospel, I think, are very important. What does the angel Gabriel say to her? He says, basically, O favored one, is one who has received grace. Now, what's grace? Some of you know, grace is where someone who is strong and powerful, mighty, sees someone who's not so powerful, weak, and picks them up, holds them up, takes care of them, helps them. She's not like God. She's a recipient of God's grace. And man, that's cool, right? Every Christian is a recipient of God's grace, and there's nothing bad about that. That's awesome. But it doesn't mean that in herself she's doing something. It's God that's doing something through her. It's God's kindness, right? How do we live our lives as Christians? Because we're so great? Because we're so powerful? No, because the powerful and mighty God works in us, and his gospel works in our souls, it works in our hearts. And here, he's going to give this virgin woman a child who's going to be the Savior of the world. The word name Jesus means Savior. And he says, you have found, again, grace, favor, but grace, charis, charin. You have found grace. In other words, God is going to do something through you by his power. That's awesome. That's awesome. But we should never get confused. You know, I would never bow to Mary, and I think Mary would be very upset if I did, right? Even in the book of Revelation, John's with an angel, and he bows to the angel. The angel says, stop it. Don't do that. I'm a servant just like you. Mary is a servant just like us. And she was a recipient of God's grace, just like us. Now, that doesn't make her less than what God made her, but it says God was the one who deserves glory for what he's about to do. And so we should be, you know, careful. Again, I don't want to ever diminish what God did. There's no other woman ever that will bear the Son of God. That's a very powerful act of God's grace working. That's awesome, right? But I don't think there'll be another apostle like the Apostle Paul. Right? So, okay, God worked grace in him, worked grace in her. God is a gracious and powerful God. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Almost a direct quote from 2 Samuel. Talked about that a few weeks ago. But the idea, God told David, he said, David, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to make a house out of you. And he was talking about an eternal house, a house that was made spiritually, a house that would be made through Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, right? So this is a promise that goes back again. That's 1000 BC that he talked to David about having this thing. And Mary said to the angel, how shall this be since I have no husband? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is something that I know this stuff gets pretty detailed when I go over it like this. But the power of God, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, every time, you want to talk about new beginnings? Every time God begins something new, the Holy Spirit is there. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit hovered over the waters. When Noah, after the judgment of the flood, when Noah... Well, it was the wind, the ruach, the spirit, blew the water away. When Israel came out of Egypt, the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke led the way. The Spirit of God was with them. When Solomon built the temple, the Holy Spirit fell. They call it the Shekinah glory, fell over the temple, right? And we'll see when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit came down upon him like a dove as he's starting his ministry. When the church was born, they were worshiping God in the upper room, and the Spirit of God moved, and they saw tongues of fire and all that kind of stuff. Every time God starts something, the Spirit of God initiates it. And that's what he's saying to Mary. He says, the Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God was doing something new. Think about what he's doing. God, the Son, is entering into the human world. Think about what he is. He's a rescuer. He says he's going to be a savior. He's going to be the one that saves his people. He's a rescuer. Rescuers can't stand outside of the burning building and rescue somebody. Rescuers can't stay up in a helicopter when there's somebody drowning in the water and rescue. You got to get in there. You got to go down. And what did Jesus do? He came down. He came to save us. He came into this world by the power of the Spirit and the mighty power of God, came into Mary, was born in that little manger, right? And he is called the Son of God. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father." Romans 1 says, "Christ, according to the flesh, is David's son. He is declared the Son of God based upon his resurrection from the dead." Philippians 2, "Being in the form of God, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Colossians, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Jesus is unique. There's nobody like him. He is God in flesh, and he is God who came to rescue us, to save us. Sometimes that gets cliche, you know, the little neon sign, "Jesus saves." And when we think about what God did by entering the world, he became one of us so he could pay for us, redeem us, claim us, and make us his, right? And then, you know, she's like confused. She says, "How in the world is this going to happen?" And so the angel says, "By the way, your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son and is in her 6 months." So this is 6 months after he talked to Elizabeth, and with her, who was called barren. In other words, this woman who couldn't, you know. And then this line, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." People ask, well, how does God exist in Father, Son, Holy Spirit? How does God enter a womb and come and save people? How does it do? With God, nothing is impossible. Or you could say, all things are possible with God. And then, again, this last statement about Mary says, "Behold, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord." The word handmaiden actually is doulo, which means servant. Now, this is how Mary thought of herself. She didn't think, "I am somebody to be." She said, "I am the servant of the Lord." In other words, whatever God has asked me to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever God empowers me to do, I'm going to do it. You know, and let it be according to your word. And the angel departed. So this is a long narrative. This is only half the chapter, but this is the long thing. God basically decided before in eternity to eternity that he was going to do marvelous things for people to help them know who he is. His plans come from him, from the very throne of heaven, right? He sent John the Baptist as a messenger to precede the Messiah, to point out to the Messiah, to call people to turn to God, repentance. His Messiah enters the world by the overshadowing of his mighty power, the Holy Spirit, to rescue his people. Jesus came to rescue us. For with God, nothing is impossible. The Lord has done what we can scarcely imagine, but it's because he is God. I hope this helps us to kind of understand. This is just the beginning of the Christmas story. But it's just the message of Gabriel to two mothers, about two sons that would change the world and change hearts and lives for eternity.